Zorn, Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
We do sing the praises of Eric Zorn.
How can you not? Eric Zorn is here, feistiest columnist in Chicago history.
A great song.
Yes.
It's on Kevin's iPad. That's his iPod. That's why he was able to play it so quickly and easily.
I have to tell you, we had Dr. Ruth Westheimer in earlier this week. Last week.
She's Friday. Taller than I am.
No, she's shorter than you. But she's definitely feistier than you are. And
really?
Someone said you have to pick up the feist a little bit.
Okay.
She was feisty.
She was, Eric.
I have to adopt it. What is that? That Austrian accent she has?
Yes. Yes.
Work on it.
How would you sound?
I've been working on it.
That's better. That sounds good. Eric, apparently this year politically has been a strange one. That's what I'm hearing. And people are tweeting about it, and you have compiled some of the more eloquent tweets.
Well, I collect funny tweets every week. I have a little reader poll that I do every week, and people weigh in. So I collect 10, 15, 20, depending on how many I find. And I thought I'd pull out some of the better political ones this week while things are still seem funny.
All right. Wait, you lead us to believe that may change. Is that going to change?
It's at some
nothing
point.
Nothing funny about it.
Nothing funny about it. Although, you know, I think Saturday Night Live has been pretty strong. They're opening skits the last couple of weeks.
Sketches have.
Yes, the live open. The rest of it, you know, it's Saturday Night Live. It's, 40 years old?
It's been pretty strong, but, you know, other than the opening, I'm not that impressed with it.
Kate McKinnon is brilliant.
She's great.
As Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're all hoping that she is able to stay on for the next 8 years.
But now you know that Donald Trump has said that it's time to retire the show, that it's no longer funny, and that Alec Baldwin is not doing a good impression of him.
I heard that he said that, I wonder why. I mean, he's a TV critic.
Yeah.
Should have won that Emmy.
Right, that's what he's
saying.
Anyway,
I was going to go. I'll go through these. This is like about 16 of my favorites from the year.
All right.
This one came from the primary season. It says the Republicans haven't got a single candidate who could survive a Willy Wonka factory tour.
Man,
here's the one. Accidentally pressed 2 for Spanish, and Donald Trump's security team came out of nowhere to deport me.
Very funny.
Here's one from Peter Sagal, who's a local radio host, actually a national radio host. He's based here. Godwin's law is now suspended until conditions improve. Now, you know what Godwin's law is, right?
No.
Godwin's law is this sort of informal rule on the internet that the first person who invokes Hitler is automatically declared the loser of the argument.
Yeah.
So he says Godwin's law is now suspended. here's one also from the primary season. Not usually a big fan of God, but I have to admit, telling Ted Cruz to run for president, then making him lose to a reality TV clown was an A-plus prank. I've always known Trump University was a scam. That's why I went to their rival school, University of Trump. Sure, Trump may be unhinged now, but maybe he'll calm down once he becomes the most powerful person in the world.
Are these written by names that we would recognize, by the way? Or are these
most of them not? I'll tell you when they are.
Right.
This is one. This is not about a candidate, but I liked it a lot. Ann Coulter has managed to say so thin because the last solid meal she ate was Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
That's so funny and so evil.
If Ted Cruz is out endorsing Trump, who's watching his bridge and asking strangers 3 riddles?
Now, does it say who that's attributed to?
It's Sam Grittner. He's a comedian.
I heard somebody else say that and thought it was really funny, but it wasn't Sam Grittner. It was somebody else.
Sam Grittner is very funny. He's a very funny. At Sam Grittner, if you want to follow someone very funny on Twitter.
You know what I'm really thinking good. Of? It's Pete. What's Pete's last name from Saturday Night Live?
Davidson.
Pete Davidson. He said at the last roast, if Ann Coulter is here, who's keeping the birds off of our crops?
The crows, yeah. The
crows off the crops.
That's good.
It's very funny.
They were really vicious to her, weren't they?
Terrible.
They were really vicious. How can millennials not relate to Hillary? She just wants to move back into the house she lived in the 90s.
That's great.
He says, Mom, is there a monster under my bed? No, honey, your room is completely safe. The monster is busy running for president right now. And this is from Betty Bowers, who's a satirical figure. The definition of patriot is any comedian who doesn't want Trump to win. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
All that material.
Mm-hmm.
4 years worth. Trump TV show idea. Rigged. Donald Trump fails at things and blames everybody but himself.
Yeah.
And that's Stephen Colbert's tweet there.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is trying to win this election the really old-fashioned way by campaigning as though women couldn't vote. Got just a couple more here. John Boehner must get up every morning feeling like a guy who missed a flight that crashed. Oh, drinks Bloody Marys and laughs and laughs. This one is just from the other day. With 17 days remaining, Trump is frantically flying from one rally to another while Hillary is at home filling out change of address forms.
It's good.
And the last one here, Trump supporters. He says just what he means. Trump, I like to kiss and grope women without their consent. Trump supporters. He didn't mean that.
Very funny.
There's
all those.
Been a lot
very,
of good,
very
lot
good.
Of good material from this.
It's all over the place. You can't avoid it.
It really is. It's this is the most interesting, most dismaying election that I've ever seen by quite a bit.
All right. So when people criticize and they say about anyone in the media, from people who write for newspapers to people who host radio talk show hosts to anybody, they say, you guys, you ride Trump and everything he says all day, every day, but Hillary Clinton gets a free pass. Isn't part of that based on the fact that Trump is just a more colorful, more flamboyant figure? Love him or hate him, he's the one that stands out in the crowd.
Well, here's the thing about Trump is that he keeps stepping on his own message. And I don't think we haven't spoken since the debate on Wednesday.
Yeah.
What happened there was that he was doing okay, certainly by his own standards. He was doing okay. He was checking a lot of boxes, making a lot of points that the Republicans and conservatives like to make against Hillary Clinton. And then he steps all over it by refusing to say that he'll just abide by the election results. And there was a really simple answer that his surrogates, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pence, his daughter Ivanka, they'd all been giving this to reporters. Like, they were saying, like, yes, of course he will abide by the results of the election. Not meaning that he wouldn't ask for a recount if it was close, but just saying he'll abide, he'll accept the results of the election. So, you know, they were all waiting inside Trump headquarters, you know, watching him asked that question, going, come on, Donald, just hit the ball here. Mm-hmm. And he just takes a big swing and a miss, and he won't do it. And suddenly the headline for the next day is written, and, you know, he just can't stay out of his own way. Because, you know, you're in some ways you're right. There's so many stories about that coming out about Hillary Clinton's emails, about, you know, problems with their foundation, all these little things that have come out that just don't rise up to the top because Trump keeps making news. If he had just kept a slightly lower profile, stuck to his issues, stuck to his 100-day plan, stuck to the things that he thinks he wants to do, he might be doing very well. He might be heading the polls at this point.
Didn't he make it worse, though, the next day by almost correcting the error and saying that he would accept results and then waiting a second and a half and then saying, if I win.
If I win, yeah.
Didn't that make it worse?
Yeah, well, I mean, his strategy right now clearly is he wants to inflame his supporters. He wants to get that hardcore base out there to really turn out for him, and he thinks that that's a way to win the election. Now, that historically, that just doesn't seem to work. That, you know, the polls tend to be accurate. The polls tend to know
they're not rigged.
What's going to happen? They're not rigged. Even though he's been saying today that the media is making up these polls, that the way to win an election is by adding supporters, by bringing, and there are a lot of people who are in the middle, especially people who've tended to vote Republican, who were looking for a reason or excuse, some sort of a reassurance to vote for him. He could have done that, and you know, I think the Democrats are looking around going, how could he have blown this possibility? This is what they call a change election. The country is ready for a change. The country thinks the economy is recovering too slowly. They think it's time for something new, some new fresh ideas. Any generic Republican would probably be beating Hillary Clinton by 5 points, 8 points at this point. But he's managed to erode all of that by all the dumb things he said. I mean, it's not just the stuff that came out, not just the Access Hollywood tape. If that were the only thing, that story would be over by now. He could have gone back. And we were even saying before the debate on Wednesday, if he manages to really stay under control like he was in the first 20 minutes. Remember that you watched the debate?
Yes.
First 20 minutes.
He seemed presidential again.
He seemed president, a little sedated, but presidential.
He did seem sedated.
He didn't interrupt her. He wasn't letting her get under his skin.
Huge control.
And you're thinking, and I was watching this going, uh-oh, this guy's finally got it. He's got the message. Third debate was very well watched. I think it was the second most watched debate maybe in presidential debate history, maybe third, something like that. It was very high. A lot of people were tuning in for it.
And then the wheels came off.
And then the wheels came off toward the end. He's calling her a nasty woman.
Wrong.
He's doing, you're a puppet. You're a puppet. You're the puppet.
No, you're a puppet.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievably bad discipline.
And it was like watching the open of SNL. It turned into...
It really did. And the thing about that kind of that lack of discipline, for my money, is that it's not just that it's bad politics. It suggests bad government. It suggests someone who wouldn't know how to run things. I mean, if you can't stay focused, if you can't control yourself when you're dealing with the huge issues in the world, You're going to be a disaster as president. There is something when you see that in the campaign, when you see him not knowing how to behave himself, it tells you what kind of president he would be. And he would be, it's a frightening idea, I think. I mean, this, you know, all issues aside, the fact that the guy is so impulsive and so
I am a blurter of all kinds. I will, a self-admitted blurter. I should not be in charge of anything, because you say things sometimes that you should think about first.
Yeah, but you know, next to him, you're Solomon. You're someone who you think before you speak.
No, I don't.
You let other people talk usually, right, Bill?
Can I talk? Yeah, I can. Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
But you know, I mean, it is something that is just shocking to watch. And now he's saying that the polls are rigged, the election is rigged. I'm not sure how he is setting up November 9th, because that's really, to my mind, I think the presidential race is over.
Yeah.
And the real question is going to be, what's this country going to look like on November 9th? Is he going to leave just this smoldering wreck from half the electorate that doesn't accept the legitimacy of the new president?
I promise you, the most entertaining concession speech, if we get one, we may not get one, but if we do get one, it's going to be the most interesting concession speech in history.
One little
he loses.
Right.
I mean, we don't know yet.
Well, there's one little ray of hope that I saw.
Can you hold that thought? We have to take a quick break. Eric Zorin has seen a ray of hope. He will share with us what that ray of hope is in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorin is here, writer for the Chicago Tribune. We need to ask you your take on the Cubs. It's so exciting.
But I have to give you my ray of hope.
Yeah,
first.
What is your ray of hope?
My ray of hope is the Al Smith dinner last week. This is a white tie banquet in New York City where the candidates routinely show up before presidential elections. They each give a speech.
Yeah.
I think Trump gave a very harsh speech. He was booed, although he did get off a couple of jokes. And Hillary's speech was also kind of harsh. It was kind of an ugly scene. But the ray of hope is that apparently before that, backstage, the cardinal was with the two of them, and he asked them to pray together, and they did briefly. And Trump said to Hillary, he said something like, he said, "You're a very tough and talented woman."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Donald, thank you. Whatever happens, you and I have to work together."
How about that?
This moment behind the scenes where there was this glimmer of patriotic,
pretty lovely
reconciliation is going to happen.
And when you say the cardinal, you mean Lou Brock.
I mean Lou Brock. Cubs thing. The one thing that I want to say about that is there's a certain person who I think we should not mention his name, and he interfered with a foul ball 13 years ago. And every time we write about him over and over again, this person, I believe, when the Cubs win the World Series, they ought to put him on the bus. They'll obviously have one of those bus tours like the White Sox had through town. They ought to put him on the bus with the players. He is the long-suffering Cub fan.
He stands
for all 108 years. He suffered more than anyone.
Somebody said he should be throwing out the first pitch.
Cass wrote a column saying
that's
the first pitch. I think it's too early. I think having him throw out the first pitch at the series is too early.
Because if they do lose, then people will still blame him.
Right. There he goes. So I think this person, and again, I hate dragging his name.
How about the celebratory
last pitch if they win? He'll just come out there after the game.
And toss a pitch.
Yeah.
Or they bring him in the ninth inning.
Let him throw.
Chapman's got two strikes. We're ahead by five runs. You can close this out.
That's great. So he's in. All right, good.
And by next week this time, we'll be partying, right?
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a dream we've all had?
Get it over with. Win it already.
Wendy just
wants it over.
Oh, that's right. She's a Sox fan.
But, I still want him to win. I just, I'm sick of hearing about it.
I'm going to move aside for Steve Bertrand like I always do.
He's here, and he demands attention.
Aside from you, Zorn.
Thank you, Eric. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.